Special thank you for coming out and visiting us today, especially if this is your first time. Again, don't forget about getting all your free stuff, free. Speaking of free, we have a birthday party coming up. If you are not aware, we planted this church on the best day ever to plant a church on deer hunting opener, right, last year. Yeah, you know, why not? Why not make it even harder than it is to plant a church? And we're, as you can see, we're still here. Doors still open, and we are growing. And God has done some amazing things in this community and through this community. That one of like our dreams that we want to be a Jesus-looking community, not just a happy little church, but a radiant Jesus-looking community. And we're having our celebration, and we're kind of cheating because we're not going to do a deer hunting opener, right? So it's like our 1 year and week anniversary, our birthday bash. And we'd love to have anyone and everyone come and celebrate several things. We're going to celebrate as a whole family. All the kids, 3-, 4-year-old and up, are going to be a part of our service. Since we really say that God's a big fan of everyone, we're going to like do it together. And we're going to celebrate what God's doing in this community. We're going to dream of what he's doing next and what he's inviting us into. We're going to have people share some stories. We're going to be singing together. We're going to have birthday presents, right? Not just for me. Don't worry. I'm not going to open a bunch of presents. Oh, another one for me, right? And then when we're all done, right, there's something, like we talk a lot, like we have an event coming up called Common Table. Like we like to celebrate around food. That's like a normal, healthy thing. And we thought, why not do it for all of us? So we have B&B doing a pig roast for us. If that is something that you like. I know last time we did this, someone's like, I'm like a vegetarian. I'm like, then don't look in there, right? So it's going to be made here like on spot. And as soon as it's done, we're going to have enough food to feed about 500 people, all free, absolutely free. And we'd love to have you, join us and celebrate that. All right. So I don't know if I said my name. My name is Chris. My wife Nikki and I are the co-lead pastors. My wife Nikki is out leading a conference in the mountains in Colorado. Yeah, I know. She's living the dream. So we're right in the middle of our series called The Good Life. And I am a firm believer that all of us in this room want a good life. I don't hear a whole lot of people saying, man, I really hope I just tolerate life when I get older. Like, no one ever, like when a kid just wishes, like, I hope to grow up to be bitter. That is my dream. I would love that. But if you, like, look around community, if you look around even our culture, there's some people that you might see and think, I wonder if that's the life that they always wish they had. Like, how do you actually move towards that? Because I'm not the brightest guy in the room, but I know that life doesn't just happen by accident, right? It just doesn't happen. A good life doesn't happen by accident. A good marriage doesn't happen by accident. Like a good, healthy family, a good job. You just don't stumble into it. Oh, I got a great job somehow, right? Like it takes some things to do on purpose. And there's like avenues, there's paths, right? Of how you can get to that good life. And our culture has a path, and it's a very inviting path. And that path says, like, get rich or die trying, right? I think that's a song. It talks about, hey, consume as much pleasure as humanly possible. Like, that, like, every night is prom night, right? And every weekend is, like, going to be the best weekend of your life, and you'll never be bored, and you'll never just, like, say, I have nothing to do. It's just go, right? Culture has a path that says, like, you are what you produce. And if I don't produce, if I'm not winning, if I'm not better than everyone else, if my house, my car, my job, my smile, my eyebrows, all right? Like, if they're not better than everyone else, then I am losing. But, and those are, like, not bad. I'm actually a fan of good eyebrows, right? So, like, those aren't necessarily evil or bad. But the kingdom of God, as we see through the scriptures, Jesus invites us on maybe a little bit different path. So Jesus says, like, a little bit more narrow. And this path leads to the best life possible. But how you, like, navigate that path, the things that are, like, are the signposts to that good life, aren't always as sexy as these paths, right? Because, like, on this path, well, like, Paul talks about in Galatians 5:22, he talks about there's these fruits of the Spirit, that the good life is to have a Jesus-looking life. And a Jesus-looking life is one that's filled with, like, patience. Isn't that awesome, right? No one's like, oh, yeah, I love patience. You're like, patience, right? And on that road, it's like to gentleness, Yeah, exactly. That's the response. When you look at it first, you're like, oh, I'd rather have the get rich or die trying. Or would you rather have forbearance? You're like, I don't even know what that is. And why is that? Because like, what Jesus invites us into is what he calls this upside down kingdom. That what if the things that we're hungry for, what if the things that we're chasing after, what if the things that we are like selling out for aren't all bad things? What if they're not the best things? In this crazy, crazy way, what if that we can experience a flourishing life, life to the fullest that Jesus says in John chapter 10? And how does he say to do it? Obey my commands. John 15, he says over and over again, I'm in the Father and he is in me, and you can have acts, you can do even better things than I have done if you what? Just do what I tell you to do. Like there is this path of a Jesus-looking life. And what we're looking over now the next 8 weeks is like, well, what are those signposts? What are those things that should be coming out of our life that might like be a healthy indicator that we're on the right path? Last week we talked about love, and that's the foundational one of all these things, that God is love. Everything that God does is love. You read through the Bible, like if you've read through the Bible, like there's some weird parts in the Bible, right? I'm a pastor, I can say that, right? There's some weird things that happen. Even those like questionable things like, oh, so God said to do that, huh? Even in that, it was out of love. And those are some hard conversations, right? Lucky for you, we did a series called Hard Conversations that you can listen on our podcast, cloakavenue.org. You're welcome, right? See how I did that? It's called upselling. So what we're talking about is joy. And if you think about, so I already said this, but like, I let the record show I am a follower of Jesus, right? I am. As your pastor, I am a big fan of Jesus. But if you ask me, if we're going to play like a picture game, Chris, what picture comes to mind if you put these two words together? Christian and joy, right? Like right now, a picture comes to your mind. For me, honestly, the first picture that came to mind was the American Gothic picture, right? Do we have that up there? That's the first one, I think. Like, Christian and joy is like, well, that's just not happening, right? Like, when I think about Christians, I don't automatically think of people are like radiating joy. And there's a lot of people that do, but my first instinct is that. And my second one is this, right? It's like the fake joy, right? It's manufactured joy. It's like, everything's A-okay, right? The Bible says it, I believe it, all right? It's just, like, have you experienced that before? Like, when you feel like you have, like, turn on joy, and you're like, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. That means I have to be happy. See, the difference between happy and joy is, like, a world of difference. Happiness is a feeling, an emotion, right? You can feel happy, and that's really, really good. Joy is a state of being. The way the Bible talks about joy is that it goes so deep in you that nothing can rob you of it. So we're going to be looking at in John chapter 9. Like nothing can rob you of that joy. A lot of things can rob you of happiness, but there's a difference. So authentic joy is so inviting. Did you guys know people who have like that kind of joy? Like when you're around them, like when you're around people who have authentic life-giving joy, you just like naturally gravitate towards them, right? You're like, oh, hey, look, there's Pam. Like Pam is like my joy lady. Miss Pam was a lady. Oh, she's right here. I was like, she's right here. Miss Pam, I met when I brought my kids to ECFE preschool. She was my kid's teacher for something, right? And two of my kids. And I brought her to the school, and I heard about Miss Pam. And everyone's like, you got to have Miss Pam. Miss Pam's number one. And we're like, we're getting Miss Pam. I bring my son Max to Miss Pam. And Miss Pam right away sees my kid. And she's like, oh, you must be Max. And she hugs him, right? And I'm like, that's good. That's like you want that for your teachers and your kid. And then she gets up, and she looks at me. She goes, oh, and who are you? And she hugs me. And if you know me, right, we don't all know each other really well, I'm not a hugger, right? When I meet a stranger, my thought isn't, hey, we should put our bodies really close and touch each other, right? That's the way I view it. Our bodies are going to touch. Okay, all right, I don't know you, but now we do, right? But Miss Pam, in my opinion, Miss Pam, I can just call you, I think we have a good enough, I can just call you Pam now, right? So Pam... Pam has this authentic joy that when she hugged me, I was like, and I'm like, oh, I felt so noticed. I felt so loved. To the point of where I'd bring my kids every time, no matter what's happening, she would give my kid a hug or, you know, do like the leg hug, like they're hugging, hug with your knee, right? And then she'd always give me a hug. Oh, hey, Chris, how are you? And she, even right now, she just smiles. She's always smiling. I just love it, right? Why does that feel good? You ever stop and think about why things feel good? Like, why do you love weddings? Why does like some songs feel right? Why when you see a movie or a painting, why does it hit you? Here's why. Because when you experience joy, when you experience love that's life-giving, what you're experiencing is the kingdom of God. What you're experiencing is God himself. Through Pam's smile, through her hugs, through her noticing kids and championing kids, she's reflecting not just hey, I'm doing this for a paycheck. She honestly believes that she's transforming lives by loving children and educating them, giving her best. That's God. That is absolute. Joy is what comes out of us is a fruit of the Spirit. What comes out of you when you get jostled and it's joy is life changing because it's who God is. But we don't always think about God this way, right? Like you might hear that and say, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I want to be Miss Pam. Let me be Mr. Pam, right? Steve, Mr. Pam, right? So like I want to reflect Pam and do I just have to like smile? Right? Wilco sings a song called How to Cure Loneliness. You just smile all the time, right? Is that how you do it? No. When you think about God, and we talk about this a lot here, what you think about God, how you see God really matters. Because it's the framework, it's the worldview of how you go through the world. And if you see God as being angry or as God being American Gothic, just I don't care what you do, just get the job done, right? You just need to tolerate life. That's going to be your experience with God. And a lot of us, we see God through chapter 3 of the Bible in Genesis. Chapter 3 is a critical, crucial part of the story of God and humankind. In chapter 3, this is where humankind like said yes to sin. And really what they did was God said, hey, we get to party together and we're going to run. We're going to have tickle fights. And it's going to be so great. And we're going to be together. Like God created them together. But he said, there's one thing of like, when you know what's like good or evil, just let me be God. All right. I know what I'm doing and you be people. And we're gonna spend time together, hang out, but like when it comes to the knowing what's right, good, or evil, just like trust me. Really, that's what he's saying. Will you just trust me that I am really good, and when I say this is not like the healthiest thing for you, you can believe that. You can take it to the bank. And they said, no, I think we're as good as you. And so they sin, right? They sin. And it changes the rest of history. Now, if this is where you see God, and so a lot of people view God, chapter 3, they feel like, I'll never be good enough. I screwed up again. I'm not perfect. I just disappoint God all the time. I'm a hot mess to God. I don't even know why he wants to be around me. Right? Chapter 3 really happened. But you just can't start a story in chapter 3. Like, there is an actual, like, chapters 1 and 2 that changes everything. In chapter 1 and 2 in Genesis, it starts by God said he created the heavens and the earth. He creates all these things. And what does he say? Do you guys know what he says? He says, it is good. It's almost like God had this picture of what he was going to be creating. And what he's creating is reflecting himself. All of creation reflects the goodness and the beauty of God. And it's like as he's making it, the way I read it is like he's like, wow, that's pretty good. You know, giving himself like an attaboy, like, hey, I did a pretty good job with those plants, right? And then he makes Carlton. He goes, that is even better, right? That's a joke. I love Carlton. So it's not a joke. That's truth. So, but when he creates you, right? Because when he creates Adam and Eve, it just wasn't, oh, they're good, and then there's solder, eye roll, right? He creates you, and what he says is what? It is good. See, God is not just saying, meh, it's all right, right? It's not so bad, it could be worse. There is this absolute love, there is this joy that comes out of him. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, it tells the story of wisdom, and it's a feminine word, and it's talking about how wisdom is so alive, and it's actually foreshadowing to the person of Jesus. And it's like, and when Jesus looks, when God looks out on humanity, he's full of delight. And this word, and its original translation, like you can like describe it as like dancing. It's frolicking. that when God looks at you, he's not like, oh, chapter 3, you screwed up, why don't you try harder? He looks at you. You were made out of a promise. You were made out of a blessing. You're made out of joy. You're made out of love. And the song it sings throughout the whole entire Bible, all of humanity starts with this blessing. There's a blessing. I am good. I am good. I love you. I'm for you. And how do we see it time and time again? He comes to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. God loves and he gives his one and only son. Why? So we can tolerate life? No, so we can have eternal life. John 10:10, so we can experience life to its fullest. And at the end of the Bible, we see in Revelation, there is this party, there is this song, there is this beautiful statement that we are singing to God of how good he is, and he's singing over us. Here's my question. If, like, you were just like hanging out in your living room, sitting at the kitchen table having a cup of coffee, and Jesus walked in and he sat down across from you, how do you think he'd look at you? Like, in your mind, this is important. What things would he talk to you about? What things would he notice? Because if it's anything less than a fierce joy, if it's anything less than, like, pushing everything out of the table to get to you out of love, then we have to look at the gospel again. Because where so many of us get stuck is chapter 3. But if we didn't have chapter 1, chapter 3 it's still a tragic thing, but then we wouldn't have the promise of who Jesus is. And the fulfillment of the gospel and the cross and the resurrection and a spirit-filled life and the kingdom of God at its fullest, not just later, but right now. Joy as followers of Jesus is our trademark. And we're going to look today is how Jesus invites us into it. How do we then move towards joy? Because you just can't force joy. You can't, any of these fruits of the Spirit, like healthy fruit comes from a healthy tree. You just can't force it to grow. You can't kick the tree and a banana comes out, all right? You just, what's inside of you is going to come out. What does it look to be a Jesus-looking person that what comes out of us is like joy? I look through the fruits of the Spirit. This is one of them. Like, I want this. I guess I want all of them bad, right? But I want to be joy as a father. I don't want to be angry dad. I don't want to be perform for me dad. I don't want to be, you're disappointing me again, you know, like tie your shoes dad. I want to be, even in the hard things, my kids look at me, that when people look at me in the community, when strangers look at me in the community, what they see is joy. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up to chapter John. Where are my notes? John chapter, I think I lied to you. It's not 9. I believe it's 16. Yeah, John chapter 16, verses 19 through 22. And let me pray really quickly before we move on. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. And we don't believe that you're somewhere else and now you leave them just to come to us. But like we just say we're aware that you're here and we want more. So God's presence, will you fill us? And even just for like the briefest of moments or maybe a long moment, that we can just connect with you. Help us, Jesus, to see you as joy. Help us to be able to see you as in chapter 1 and 2, out of a blessing and out of love. We love you. Amen. All right, starting in verse 19, and we have Bibles in the back. If you want to steal one, you are more than welcome to. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices, and you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." So Jesus here is, he's about to get arrested, he's about to go to the cross, and he's foreshadowing to like his buddies, to his students, to his disciples. He's saying, hey, in a little bit, I'm going to get like beaten, and I'm going to like willingly give up my life in this brutal death, and I'm going to die. And around you, people are going to be doing fist pumps. Like, yeah, we got him, woo, we won, right? There was people who were actively trying to suppress Jesus and this whole kingdom movement out of power, right? He goes, but while they're doing fist bumps, as they're celebrating, as they're like, you know, popping things of champagne if they had it back then, right? I don't think they did, but anyways. So as they're doing that, you're going to be a hot mess. Like just absolutely hot mess, like eyes crying, ugly crying, snot. You're going to feel it. But what does he say? And that's the end of the story, right? Is that what he says? He goes, and then your pain's going to define you. He goes, no, through that dark night, as you walk through that dark alley, as you walk through that pain, and it's real, it's almost, he's not like trying to make a point. He's like, it's going to be a little inconvenient. He's like, it's going to hurt. He says, what? But on the back end of that, there is joy. See, pain in your life, suffering in your life, is not a lack of joy. It just doesn't mean that when you hit something hard in your life, oh, there's no joy, there is no hope, put the white flag up, it's over, let's just go back to tolerating life. That's not at all what Jesus, he uses the word, and I love that a guy uses this example, right? I'm a man, my wife had a baby, I've never had a baby, so I don't know what it really feels like to have a baby, and I love that Jesus uses that as, he's like, let me tell you how it is, right? But anyways, a lot of you here, you're dedicating kids, and you had a baby. Like, when Nikki had babies, I happened to be around, you know, when that was happening, and there's a lot of pain. There's no disguising it, right? There's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of inconveniences along the way in 9 months, right? You have to get a whole new wardrobe. You have to walk differently. You know, your body does things in a different way, or so I've heard, all right? So, like, there's people come up to you. Let me just give you a little piece of advice. If you go up to a stranger, all right, first just don't hug them. Like, our body's going to touch, but don't touch this. Well, if you don't know them, just want to go, oh, hey, baby. You're like, hi, I'm Chris, all right? Just don't do that. That's not in my notes. So, What am I even getting? Oh, so there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of inconvenience. And when my wife talks about our kids, it's not marked with a story of pain or inconvenience, right? When Cole was born, it went from a lot of things that happened, right? I shouldn't probably tell them all, right? But it was a lot of pain. A lot of pain, even a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And as soon as we saw that kid, it was like it dissipated. And Nikki held him, and she cried, and she said, my baby, my baby, my baby. I'm like, oh, I could cry right now. I just a ball, oh, it's a boy, right? And I got to hold him. I put his little head right underneath my chin. I had a goatee, like, flopped over his face, right? And when I think about my kid, that's what I remember, and this is what Jesus is saying. In this world, you will find trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus says that in John, and then he's saying the same thing here. He's like, there's going to be absolute hard things in life. There's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, but there is a joy that is so much deeper in you, it will sing that song through all the pain. If you are experiencing pain, that is not your story. As a follower of Jesus, your pain, your hardships, your struggles do not get to define you. Like, let me encourage you. You can do hard things. We want to compromise at times in our marriages. We want to compromise, take shortcuts at work. Me, I want to compromise in my exercise. I'm like, that's a little too hard. I'm just going to stop right now, right? You can do hard things. And this joy of the Lord, what Jesus is talking about, this joy that comes is a joy that can drive you through the pain, could drive you through the loneliness. It can drive you through the hard things. Pain does not get to define who you are. See, then joy isn't just pretending to be happy. As a follower of Jesus, as you get like the hard news from the doctor, right? I have a friend who got diagnosed with cancer. And I was sitting with him during treatment. And what he's talking about wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to give up. Oh, me, why me? And imagine that he had some of those feelings. But you know what he was talking about? He's talking about, I'm going to tell about Jesus. And whatever happens to me in this life, I know my hope, my joy is in something higher than this world. I'm going to talk about Jesus to the people around me. You just can't fake that. It's not just like laughing, like, I'm okay, right? My marriage is falling apart. No, but I got joy of the Lord, right? It doesn't work that way. See, let's look at Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, right? For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'm not the leading theologian in like Jesus and the cross, but I got a feeling that the joy set before him wasn't like Jesus saying, oh man, I can't wait till I get beaten, right? I bet as he was getting whipped, he wasn't like, oh, what joy is happening right now, right? I bet the joy wasn't, I can't wait till all my friends abandon me. I can't wait till God turns his back on me and having this like hellish nightmare experience. I don't think Jesus in the moment is saying, what joy is found in this moment? What's his joy set before him? Because that is hard things. The joy set before him was like he knew who he was and he knew who he belonged to. The joy was he knew who he was. Jesus said, I know my purpose on this earth is to what? I'm going to love my Father intensely and fiercely. I'm going to love God. Every waking moment, I'm going to only do what God does. John chapter 5 says, my Father's always at work, and I'm only going to do what he's doing. Like, Jesus spent so much time with his Father. Why? Because he knew the only way I can get through this life, is with intimacy with my Father. He knew who he belonged to. He knew that he wasn't just like walking around saying, I'm God, and all right, everyone fall in line, all right, and smite you, all right? He walked around noticing engaging, loving people, and everything he needed, God gave him. He walked with confidence. The joy set before him was you. Jesus being fully aware of what's going to happen. He talked about it over. He's like, I'm going to go away for a little bit. I'm going to have to they're going to be taking me away, but don't worry, I'm coming back. And the disciples just didn't get it, right? Jesus is foreshadowing, saying, I'm going to die, but I'm going to go through all this. Why? Because I'm crazy about you. Because there's a chapter one God that where it started was out of this radical love, this blessing, this flow of love and purpose and joy and peace and justice. And God wants all of it for you, and you can't get there until I go to the cross for you. I'm going to pay the price. I'm picking up the tab. Why? So you can lead a flourishing life. That's the joy. The joy was that he gets to sit at the right hand of the Father. He goes, I get to be back with who I was created to be with my Father. See, then joy, then. In verse 22, Jesus says, where am I at? He says this, I will see you again, and you'll rejoice, and no one can take away your joy. So now he's talking about, it's not like, hey, I'm going to come back from the dead, and you're going to be like, wow, we didn't lose. Awesome, right? He's saying, when you see me again, you're going to see me as a resurrected life. You're going to see me in the perfection. You're going to see me in what you were created for in chapter 1 and 2. He's pointing, saying, this is who you really are. This is what your existence is for, to live a resurrected life. And when you see Jesus in that light, it changes everything. Because now your joy, now your hope, now your confidence isn't based on all these other things. It's found, it's seated, it's rooted deeply in the person of the resurrected Christ. Like, think about the time when you felt a lot of anxiety. Maybe it was like right now. When have you gone through like that dark night? And why? What caused that? Maybe it was your kids are going to graduate and they're going to leave home and you have a lot of like nervousness, a lot of anxiety. Like, what am I going to do with all my time? For a lot of us, it's money. Right? You have only X amount of thousands in the bank, and you're like, well, what if something happens? We play all these scenarios out, or maybe it's like I only have X amount of like tens of dollars in my account, right? And what happens if that check doesn't go through at this time and we play that game, right? You've played that game before, and you have all that anxiety building up. It might be an indicator. What we see in the kingdom life is that if our hope is in Jesus, that joy is going to come through no matter what life throws at us. If my hope, if my joy is set in how my kids perform, of what my bank account is, of what my body looks like, right? My body will look like in 30 years when I find out there's bumps and lumps I didn't know existed, all right? Like, if there's my joy is set in that, well, I'm going to be thoroughly disappointed. And what Jesus is saying, when you see me, no one can take that joy away because it's tied into the person of Jesus. My friends, this is the beauty of the gospel. It is absolutely the beauty of the gospel. The gospel, the good news, here's the good news. as you think about yourself, right? And you think, you're like, eh, maybe I'm, you know, I've done some bad things. Maybe I've done some, like, you know, maybe not so great things. No matter how bad or dark you think you are, right? You could probably be a little bit worse, right? If you're honest with yourself, you might just have done a little bit more darker things, probably than you know, imagined. But the beauty of the gospel is this. In that same moment, in the same breath, in the same millisecond, in Jesus, when your life is in Jesus, you are more beautiful, more loved, more valued than you could ever dare hope. See, we can have joy and confidence in Jesus, in the gospel, because when you're sharing life with Jesus, you lay down your life to Jesus, and he fills you up, and your joy is in the resurrected life, that no one can steal it, then there's nothing in your closet, skeletons, baggage, stories, things you've done to people, things that people have done to you, that can rob you of that joy. Why? Because Jesus has seen you at your worst. He's seen you at your ugliest. He's seen the hot mess. He's seen the 15 Jack's pizzas you ate, right? He's seen all those things, right? It's not a sin to eat a Jack's pizza. I'll just write that down, right? I like to strike that from the record. But he's seen you at your worst, and what does he call you? He calls you good. He delights over you. He calls you beautiful. He calls you mine. And when we can walk around with that confidence, that I belong to Jesus and he calls me love no matter what I do, when I say yes to him, then that joy goes deep. Then we can get jostled. Then we can get bumped up against. Then we can have financial problems. Then we can have marital problems. Then we can have friendship problems. Then we can have body problems. We can have sickness. It might even be death. In Romans, Paul says, but nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because the resurrected Christ, nothing can rob your joy. What does joy look like for you? Like, is joy coming out of your life? A lot of us, if we were just like one-on-one over a cup of coffee, all of us probably walking through some pretty hard things right now. Things that we probably wouldn't broadcast, things we probably wouldn't bring up at work. Hey, guess what's going on? My marriage is falling apart, right? You can do hard things. Why? Because of Christ in you, the resurrected life. Jesus is inviting you to be a part of it. And when we do that, then we can have a joy that this world can't steal. But let me give you some hard and meant to be encouraging news. This path that God's inviting us onto is not a quick fix. It will bring life. It will bring hope. But like my dream, the way I view this path is I want to live a life marked with love, with joy, with patience, with peace, with kindness, right? What it looks like to walk this path is left foot. Okay, I'm going to say yes to Jesus today. Okay, I'm going to have joy in the Lord. Why? Not in what I produce, because of who you are in me, right? Right foot. Yeah, I feel really disappointed. I feel like I am a hot mess with you, Jesus. But I'm going to trust that you are good and beautiful and that you have everything I need you're giving to me, left foot. I'm believing this lie that I'm really not that great. I'm a bad dad. Okay, but I'm going to say that you are good, right foot. Step after step after step after step. It is a long obedience in the same direction. And when we can do that, and we can say yes to Jesus, our confidence, our hope is in him in the gospel, you will be singing a song of joy. It might not look like Miss Pam. It might not be the, you know, beautiful smile. It might look something individual to you. But you will know it, and it is life-giving. Let's stand. Manufactured joy, counterfeit joy, comes out of a place of running from the skeletons in our closet. Fake joy is meant to be, let's don't talk about real life. I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Like, and we play that game all the time. How are you doing? I'm good. Authentic joy is found and manufactured and produced by the person of Jesus himself. So I'm going to pray. And we pray here at the Vineyard, not because that's what churches do, and I'm pastor, so I'm supposed to end by praying so we can all go home and watch football, right? Like, we pray because we really believe it works. We pray because we actually believe that God wants to show up and deposit good things in us. He wants to heal us. He wants to bless us. Why? Chapter 1. Like, we really believe that. So there's a couple things I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to receive if you'd like to. The first one, I got to make sure I get these right. The first one is this. Oh, man, joy. You feel a lack, a loss, or you're bankrupt in joy. And whatever joy looks like for you. You're like, I want that. I want to be able to look at my friends. I want to be able to think about my job. I want to think about retirement. I want to think about my spouse. I want to think about my kid. And what I want to come out of me is joy. Not manufactured, but authentic. As I pray, I'm going to ask God to deposit that in us. Second thing is this, oh man, this whole idea of that Jesus walks in the room and what he sees and what he thinks and what he really believes about you is that you are like absolutely good and you are loved. Some of you, that just feels like a totally foreign idea. As I pray, I want to encourage you to do is just say, God, will you put your confidence in me? Will you show me how you see me? Will you let me not just see, but experience your beauty? And that, you can receive that. The last one is this. If you've never stepped into this relationship with Jesus, we talk about having a good and beautiful life and being a Jesus-looking person. If you feel like, I don't know how to start that, the way it starts is by just like saying, God, I'm going to put all my hope and confidence and joy in you. As I pray, I'm going to encourage you to join me as I pray if you would like one of those things. Let's pray. So God, we love you. I thank you that when you see us, you have delight. And I thank you that when you see us, even though we see all like the horrible things that we've done, all the dark things that have been done to us, all the injustice even in this world, that when you look at us, what you see is the cross. That Jesus took our scorn, our shame, our sin. He took it all on himself. Why? For the joy set before him. So that we can experience the kingdom of God. We can experience heaven, not just later, but even now. We can experience Jesus himself. So my friends here today who, like, this is something new to them, they would like to step into that relationship. God, we say yes to you. Thank you that you laid down your life for me and that you resurrected. And with you, you said, now no one can rob you of joy. Why? Because of resurrected Jesus. And we say yes to that. You show us, God, what it looks like to say yes to you again and again and again. And I pray for my friends who feel a lack of joy. They feel like joy is just this impossible thing that they can never actually attain or experience or feel or see. Holy Spirit, will you come right now and let there be joy? And will it sink deep? It'll go deeper than a kid crying in the middle of the night. It will go deeper than a fight with their parents. It'll go deeper than a lack of money in their account. Holy Spirit, come. Put it deep inside of them. And help us to be able to see you in the way you see us, Jesus. We love you. Amen. We have some people we call our ministry team, and they're going to make their way up here. These are people who are people for you. They want good things to happen in your life, and we take time to pray for each other. So if there's something I talked about that hit you or you feel like, I'd like prayer for that, or you'd like more joy and you want to pray a little bit more, the people up here would love to pray for you. If there's anything else going on in your life, physical pain, or maybe I brought up finances a lot, you feel like you're walking through some financial troubles, let us pray. We believe God wants to do good things in your life. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Thank you for dedicating your children. Thank you for coming and celebrating the lives of these parents and these kids. Enjoy the beautiful fall Sunday and have a great rest of your weekend.